Hello and welcome to Radio Disclosure. Now, don't touch that dial. Have you ever wondered about a dream that you've had? Do you have a dream that you had at some particular time in your life that has stuck around and haunted you, and you've always wondered what it meant? Well, our guest today is going to shed some light on that subject, and we'll be right back with Dr. Arthur Bernard, the author of the book, God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries, and we'll be right back with him right after this. As a shortwave radio listener, you know there's no such thing as a good indoor antenna. If you're looking for an antenna that allows you to pull in those distant signals and also gets rid of the atmospheric noise, you need a good outdoor antenna. But in a lot of cases, folks can't have an outdoor antenna. Now you can. Trans World Antennas is the name of the company. The website is transworldantennas.com. Go to their site and check out the TW2010 or the 4040 or the 8080 for that matter. These are all antennas that will increase the sensitivity of your shortwave radio. It gets the antenna that receives outside of the indoor environment, away from electrical noise, the pops and cracks and things that go on inside a building, and they hide. The TW2010 just literally disappears wherever you put it. Folks don't see it. And it's a good antenna for your receiver. It's a good match for any shortwave radio. If you're having difficulty pulling in those distant signals, or if you're looking for a portable antenna that you can take with you wherever you go, you want it to be low profile, you want it to be stealth, where you can set it up and nobody really knows it's an antenna, this is the antenna for you. Go to the website, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. And get a TW2010, a 4040, or an 8080, whichever model best suits your receiving needs. You'll be glad you did. TransworldAntennas.com. Something new at Radio Disclosure. We have been collecting items of interest. Something that you might want. And once a month, we are going to have a drawing and give away some of these items of interest. Now, if you'd like to get your name in the hat, write us an email. Go to radiodisclosure.com. That's radiodisclosure.com. Shoot us an email and tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us that you're interested in the items of interest. We're going to do a drawing once a month, and several people that listen to Radio Disclosure are going to get something really cool. We look forward to hearing from you. Go to our website, radiodisclosure.com. And send us an email. And keep listening and tell your friends about Radio Disclosure. With us today is Dr. Arthur Bernard. And he's got a very unusual book out. And he also has, a number of concepts here that I'm getting just a little bit familiar with from reading. But this is probably some of the most unusual material. If you've ever been fascinated by dreams, this is the man that you need to talk to, or you need to read his book. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much, Ted.
Tell me a little bit, before we even get started, tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, I was originally a school teacher, and then I taught for many years in a public school. And then, and this was in California, and I noticed that the kids, after 7 or 8 years of teaching, I noticed that the kids were more interested in talking about their personal problems. And soon I became more interested in their personal problems rather than the history I was teaching. So I decided to go back to school and get my therapist license, and I did, and then I eventually got a PhD. But I had originally gone to a Jungian analyst, the great psychiatrist C.G. Jung, a Swiss psychiatrist, had trained my wife's uncle, and I was born in Boston and went to California after I got out of the Army, and And he's the one that introduced me to dreams. And when I got my license, after I quit teaching in public school, when I got my therapist license, I was thinking of what to specialize in. What should, because you have to separate yourself out from so many of the therapists that were in Los Angeles. In fact, everybody had their own therapist in L.A. And so I was meditating one day, and then I heard this voice in the meditation say to me, "Open the Dream Center." And I came up out of the chair, and I looked around. Of course, there was nobody there. And to this day, I don't know if the voice was inside me or outside me. It sounded like it was outside me. And so within 2 months, I opened the Dream Center, where I gave lectures and seminars and did group therapy with dreams and did all kinds of things. Eventually, I retired, but I didn't like retirement, and a job came along where a company hired me, and they sent me all around the country doing dream seminars to professionals, giving dream seminars to professionals, teaching them how to work with their clients' dreams. So that was how my interest in dreams started. In other words, I was chosen to do this work. In other words, the thought hadn't occurred to me to work in dreams. But when I had this meditation experience and a voice said, "Open the Dream Center," that was it. I said, "Boy, somebody is telling me something. Something inside me." I didn't think it was the voice of God. You know, it was maybe the voice of my higher self that was trying to direct me into the work that I just love.
Well, let me ask you a question. Now, do you believe, we've had folks on the air that talk about the fact that they believe that when you go to sleep and you begin to dream, that whatever it is that's you, call it soul, call it spirit, leaves the body and experiences things outside of the body. Now, what do you think about that? How does that strike you?
Well, people are immobilized in bed. Somehow, when people start dreaming, there are many different dream cycles during the evening, but somehow the motor, the gear towards the motor cortex is shut down. I know Edgar Cayce, the great Christian psychic, who said that every time you dream, you supposedly leave your body. But to me, that is not the most interesting thing. The most interesting thing to me is the content of dreams. What do dreams mean? I mean, I had cancer, bladder cancer, 16 years ago. That was between stage 3 and 4. And my dreams diagnosed it. The doctor was wrong. My dreams told me the origin of the cancer. Then they commented on the treatment. And then they told me what I had to learn from my illness. Not that I had caused it, but what I had to learn from it. And then they heralded my wellness. And this was all in a period of 3 months. And, to me, the most important thing is what do these dreams mean? Not that you may leave your body or you may astral project or what have you. The most interesting thing to me is, what does this message mean for your life, and how can you put it to work for you?
Well,
that's the way I look at dreams.
Do you think the meaning of dreams come from a connection that goes beyond ourselves? Or I'm just kind of curious if you believe dreams are totally internal, or if do you think we're connected in some other way? Now, I'm not trying to define how we're connected or who we're connected with. I'm just saying, do you think that it's a result of an external connection, or do you think that it is totally internal? Now, the other part of that is it possible that during our interactions with other people during the day, and watching news on TV and everything that we learn, that we then become connected to other people in ways that we're not aware, and that dreams are able to bring those connections together. Now, this is all just, you know, the ramblings of a madman.
Well, there is some truth to that. I mean, in other words, I've had dreams where I know that I didn't dream this dream. This dream dreamt me. In other words, years and years and years ago, when I became a therapist, I had a dream where I was in an old building, and I was in a dark hallway, and I heard a voice call my name. And the voice said, "Bernard, come in this room. I need to talk to you." And I walked into this dark room, and there was an ancient woman sitting at a desk. Two candles illuminated her face. And I said, "What is it?" And she said, "You know, I could help you become a superb therapist." She said, "But I am not going to help you." And I said, "Why not?" And I said, "Because you still don't know who God is yet." Now, I wasn't interested in that subject. So, yes, I'd say that in these big dreams, we're connected to something that is bigger than us. You know, I'm not quite sure what it is. It's the spirit or the soul. But there's something in us that wants to guide us and direct us. And that's a subject I wasn't interested in. In other words, I didn't dream that dream. That dream dreamt me. And then years later, I was having a dream, and C.G. Jung appeared. Now, C.G. Jung, the great Swiss psychiatrist, had been dead for about 15 years, and I had never met him. And I was walking in a cafeteria, and I see him sitting at a table with another man. And he stopped me, and he said, "Bernard, sit down. I want to tell you who God is." And I said, "Oh, Dr. Jung, I've been studying, I've been reading, you know, I know who God is." He said, "No, you still don't know." And he said, "Sit down." And I sat down. And the master speaks, you sit. And I would have thought it a great honor to have polished his shoes, to have carried his briefcase, to have dusted his bookcases. And he looked me straight in the eye, and these were his exact words. He said, "Listen, Bernard, God is not a man or a being on a throne with a long white beard dispensing wisdom. That's not God." He said, "God is the life force. It is the spirit that creates and animates all of life." And I woke up. Now, you know, I'm wondering, it felt like it was a real visitation by C.G. Jung. It didn't feel like a dream. It just felt like something was beyond. I was connected to something bigger than myself, whatever it was. And Jung never wrote that. I called the San Francisco librarian at the Jung Institute, and she said, "No." I shared the experience with her, and she said, "No, Jung never wrote that." She had read everything Jung ever wrote. And she said, "No, Jung never wrote that, but I'm sure it's something he believed in." So maybe we're connected to the deceased. I've had a lot of people who have had dreams about close people who have died, spouses or children, and very often within 6 to 9 months, the person dreams of the deceased person, and the individual, whether it's a spouse or a child, comes to them and says, "You know, everything is fine." They reassure the dreamer that everything is okay, and then they reaffirm their love for the dreamer, and the dreamer wakes up, and a lot of the grief seems to be gone. So maybe we're all connected to the spirit world. I mean, I think that's a reality.
Well, when you say the dream
experience, I mean, I've had some interesting experiences, and I find that there's something much greater than the physical material world. I mean, there seems to be a lot of evidence that's pointing to that now, and the idea of Newtonian physics, you know, that's changing. That's changing. People are beginning to believe in the world of the spirit.
When you say the dream dreamt you, you know, so many times I have heard of successful songwriters here in the Nashville area. And of course, you know, Nashville is very famous for songwriters. And they will say something like, that song wrote itself, or the song wrote me. You know, I've heard this before where all of a sudden, you know, the thing just starts coming to them, and they just write it down, and it's like, oh, man, I have no idea where that came from, you know.
Well, I think it was Paul McCartney, whose famous song Yesterday came in a dream. Billy Joel had dreams where he would hear the song and hear the words. I even think Beethoven used his dreams to compose music. There are several Nobel Prize winners who won their Nobel Prize because of dreams. There was a man by the name of Bantung, a Canadian physician, who was working on diabetes, and he couldn't figure it out. And he had this dream about taking the pancreas out of a dog and squeezing out the liquid and letting the pancreas dry. And the whole dream was about insulin, the cause and treatment of diabetes. There are three or four Nobel Prize winners that won their prize because of their dreams. Somehow, the unconscious mind hates not to have closure. So if you're working on something and you can't figure it out consciously, then very often the unconscious is working on it 24 hours a day. And eventually, people get the answer. There was an interesting story about a man who stole money from Las Vegas slot machines. His name was Tommy Carmichael. And he had figured out when they used to have mechanical slot machines, he figured out how to build a little unit that tripped the change bucket. And he would shove it up into the machine, and all this money would come pouring out. And then they built these electronic ones, and he couldn't figure it out. In fact, he bought one, and he couldn't figure it out. And then, after 6 months of working on this machine, he had a dream, and the dream told him how to build a piece of equipment that could change the number of credits in an electronic machine, and he built it. It had to do with piano wire, it had to do with a piece of steel, and he made millions until he was caught, and then he spent a little time in jail, and now he works for the casinos. You know?
Well, you know, okay, now, let's just say, for example, if we go back to, I mean, this is really borderline some things that I'm familiar with, and I'm sure you're very familiar with what was a business standard for a few years back, a book called Think and Grow Rich.
Yes.
Okay, so the part of the book that they never discuss, even back when the book was really hot and on the bestseller list and all that kind of thing, the part they never discuss is the, actually two parts. Is the one where they advocate sitting in a dark room, turning out the light, and as they called it, sitting or waiting for ideas. And then as soon as the idea hits you, you flip the light back on, and you write the idea down on a notepad. And then you simply flip the light off again and sit there and relax and wait for the next idea to come. In other words, that's something that obviously you're drawing from someplace. You know, there's something speaking to you, and you're talking about the subconscious mind. I mean, that's, you know, the process of getting the mind quiet enough, you know, to where you maybe even can sense what's going on in the subconscious mind, you know, to some degree. I mean, I don't know that you ever can, but the other thing was, and you were talking about being connected with people that have lived to us, the board meetings that he would plan, where he had, I believe he had people on his board like Abraham Lincoln, and he said Abraham Lincoln would develop a habit of showing up late. You know, and these people actually had personalities, and he would have full conversations with them. I mean, these were people that had died years ago. And
right.
What's interesting is that later on, I was reading I was reading some stuff on that book in particular, and one of the things that Napoleon Hill talked about, this is external to the book, is that some of the characters that he had sitting on his board, he really knew very little about. In other words, he hadn't even read a biography on them. And later on found out that Lincoln indeed had a pattern of showing up late for things. You know, and this was something that happened, you know. So, I mean, you know, now, the you know, the, all of this came from, I guess, from Napoleon Hill, but it also, that whole book was a culmination of the ideas of Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, and obviously Andrew Carnegie, some of the greatest minds that had ever hit the business and, you know, and the creative world of inventors. And what he talked about was all concepts that he picked up from them. So, you know
the actual title of the dream, he could not, Napoleon Hill could not figure out the title of the book, and he dreamt the title.
Really?
He dreamt the title of the book. Mary Shelley dreamt of Frankenstein. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was came in a dream. There's a lot of people. You know, you get a lot of help in your dreams. It's probably one of the most creative sources we have within us. I mean, I lived in Los Angeles. I used to do a lot of work with some movie stars, and I found that a lot of them, a lot of these movie stars had really interesting experiences and dreams that would help them in their acting career. So it's a very, very creative process. When you go to sleep at night, the unconscious mind has access to information that whatever existed, whatever pieces of information existed thousands of years ago, you have access to everything. And I've had people who have experienced this. I even had one client who believed in yellowbook.com. He was lived in L.A., and he was trying to find a small company that would build a very tiny machine for him because he had made a lot of money in a business his father sold, and he worked for his father, and he wanted to develop this small item, and he couldn't, and then he had a dream, and the dream said, Dan, you'll find your answer in Kansas. And sure enough, he went to the phone company, he got a Kansas phone book, and there it was, a small motor company, the only one in the country. And he called them up, and they built exactly what he wanted. So we have yellowbook.com within us. You know, it's all there. Access to this tremendous source of information, and it's combined in our dreams in a very, very creative way.
Well, you know, so many times though, dreams are just crazy. I mean, you have a dream and you wake up and you say, "What on earth? What? Why would I ever dream something like that?" You know, and it's like every element in the dream is something separate unto itself, and none of it really makes any sense fitting together, if that makes any sense.
Well, you know, dreams, there are a lot of dreams that are very symbolic, and people say, oh boy, this is such a crazy dream. Like, I had a client once who was a minister of a very large church in Los Angeles. And he started to have dreams that he was totally nude, getting ready to talk to his congregation Sunday morning. And there he is, standing there entirely nude. And suddenly his private parts are now his public parts, and he's trying to conceal it. But nobody in the audience reacted to his nudity. And he woke up, and he had that dream three or four times, and he called me, and he said, oh God, you know, I don't walk around nude, but nudity was a symbol. You see, and this is how one brief dream can cause a simple shift in your current thinking that can change your entire world. So I said to him, well, what does nudity symbolically represent? He said, well, it's natural, it's open, it's exposed, it's being vulnerable. And I said, tell me about your image. He says, oh, my image, I have to project myself outward as a minister, so I have to wear certain suits and I have to speak in a certain way. And he said, you know, I've always wanted to deliver a sermon that comes from my heart and my gut, and I just haven't had the courage to do so. So we all have images, just like a doctor has an image, you know, and he wants to present himself to the world in a certain way. Even though he may be a knave, he may be a scoundrel, there are accountants and lawyers, and everybody has an image that they want to project to the world. So he said to me, you know, I've been invited to Hawaii to speak. And he said, I'm going to give the sermon I've always wanted to give. And he did, and he came back and he said, my life has changed. He said, I let it all hang out. And suddenly everybody was patting me on the back and said, boy, we've been waiting to hear that for a long time. And he totally changed his life. And see, the problem is a lot of people can't grasp that things are symbolic. Like Americans tend to live their lives on the surface. They tend to be more materialistic. They have their faith in science and technology. And here they have a dream that's highly symbolic. Well, dreams want you to enter the mystery of your life. They want you to go deeper. Most Americans, their lives are a mile wide and an inch deep. Dreams try and get your life into maybe 1 inch wide and a mile deep. They want you to enter the mystery of your life. Life is just seems to be, especially from dreams, that life seems to be a lot more than just this outer world. And quantum physics has shown us that, you know.
I guess I'm wondering, you know, I wonder a lot sometimes about the inner world, so to speak. Because we think about the subconscious mind and what it's capable of. I don't think we really understand what it's capable of. I don't think we have even scratched the surface. The big thing that I'd like to ask about, though, is what about folks that, and I understand dreams, different things in dreams can mean different things. And, it would vary with people. An image that I might dream about, just as an example, if I dream about an elephant, it would mean something different to me than maybe it would if you dreamt about an elephant. I mean, depending on our elephant.
Oh, absolutely.
But I guess, go ahead.
If, for example, let's say you dream of a dog or a horse. Let's say you dream about a horse, but you're a jockey, you see, and it could mean one thing. But let's say you're not a jockey and you dream about a horse and you happen to own a pet food factory. Well, you know, it could have a totally different meaning, you see. But one of the most simple ways to work with dreams is to think of a dream as a question, not as an answer. So let's say somebody has a dream. Here's a common dream. I'm in prison and see no way out. Well, the dream may be telling you it's creating a situation that symbolically represents the psychic state you are in. So you have to ask yourself a question. How do you keep yourself imprisoned? What negative ideas do you hold that keep you locked up? What options for freedom may you have that are not apparent? Well, let's say a common dream is a huge tidal wave is bearing down on you and you're terrified. It's symbolic. So you could restate the dream in a question form. What feelings do you allow to overwhelm you? What do you need to do to face your fears and not run from them? Dreams, sometimes, there are many different types of dreams, but dreams sometimes give you a situation and symbolically, and this situation represents the psychic state you're in. So let's say you have a dream, I'm stuck between two large objects and I can't move and I see no way out. A young man comes by and using leverage frees me. So you could restate a dream like that in question form. What help is available that you may have overlooked? What prevents you from relying more on other people? You see, my thing is, when I work with people's dreams, my thing is, what does this dream mean and how can you learn from it? And what action do you need to take in real life? All dreams are messages. Well, you've got to change something. You've got to do something different. And I try and simplify it, you know. Very often it works.
You're listening to Radio Disclosure. And we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Arthur Bernard, the author of God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries. It's all about dreams, and we'll be right back right after this. As a shortwave radio listener, you know there's no such thing as a good indoor antenna. If you're looking for an antenna that allows you to pull in those distant signals and also gets rid of the atmospheric noise, you need a good outdoor antenna. But in a lot of cases, folks can't have an outdoor antenna. Now you can. Transworld Antennas is the name of the company. The website is transworldantennas.com. Go to their site and check out the TW2010 or the 4040 or the 8080 for that matter. These are all antennas that will increase the sensitivity of your shortwave radio. It gets the antenna that receives outside of the indoor environment, away from electrical noise, the pops and cracks and things that go on inside a building, and they hide. The TW2010 just literally disappears wherever you put it. Folks don't see it. And it's a good antenna for your receiver. It's a good match for any shortwave radio. If you're having difficulty pulling in those distant signals, or if you're looking for a portable antenna that you can take with you wherever you go, you want it to be low profile, you want it to be stealth, where you can set it up and nobody really knows it's an antenna, this is the antenna for you. Go to the website, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. And get a TW2010, a 4040, or an 8080, whichever model best suits your receiving needs. You'll be glad you did. TransworldAntennas.com. If you're the decision maker for any form of outdoor lighting, you're going to want to listen to this. The Light Pack Systems induction lights, manufactured in the USA by a severely disabled workforce, uses a unique physical principle of light generation. This lamp system is therefore classified in a new family of sources, the Light Pack induction lamp systems. LightPack induction lighting is a breakthrough for professional, general, and special lighting applications, not only because of its high luminescence and efficiency, but especially because of its unprecedented lifetime. System lifetime is rated at 100,000 hours, or about 20 years, based on 5,000 burning hours per year. With a failure rate of less than 10%. With this unmatched durability, LightPack offers substantial savings in direct maintenance costs as well as indirect costs. Induction lighting is relatively new in the United States, but it's proven technology developed in Europe over 20 years ago. Therefore, claims of durability is based on real-world empirical data, as opposed to estimated design life provided by competitive lighting technologies such as LED. LightPack Systems was founded on the principles of green solutions for modern lighting through strong partnerships with the U.S. military, the University of Central Florida, and several national energy service companies. LightPack offers lighting solutions that provide a better quality of light with a 66% energy savings, also lasting up to 5 times longer than standard lighting options. LightPack's quality shines through with their standard 10-year warranty on all products. Call today for your free demonstration. Go to their website, lightpacksystems.com. That's lightpacksystems.com, spelled LitePackSystems. LitePackSystems.com. Something new at Radio Disclosure. We have been collecting items of interest, something that you might want. And once a month, we are going to have a drawing and give away some of these items of interest. Now, if you'd like to get your name in the hat, write us an email. Go to radiodisclosure.com. That's radiodisclosure.com. Shoot us an email and tell us a little bit about yourself, and tell us that you're interested in the items of interest. We're going to do a drawing once a month, and several people that listen to Radio Disclosure are going to get something really cool. We look forward to hearing from you. Go to our website, radiodisclosure.com, and send us an email. And keep listening and tell your friends about Radio Disclosure. And now, ladies and gentlemen, back to our guest, Dr. Arthur Bernard, the author of the book, God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries. It's all about dreams this week on Radio Disclosure. Well, I guess the other question I was going to say, what about folks that want to have a dream experience, you know, dream something, they want to wrestle with a concept, but they don't recall ever dreaming anything?
Well, they don't recall it because they are dreaming. You cannot not dream. Dream cycles occur throughout the evening and they get longer. But very often people don't remember them because there are a number of reasons. One could be poor sleeping habits. Two, it could be improper diet. Three, it could be a lot of people don't want to know what's in there. I mean, nightmares are very terrifying, and a lot of people don't want to experience nightmares, and a nightmare is a warning dream. You know, you're doing something that's not in your best interest, or you're thinking about something that you're not in your best interest, or you're feeling something, but a lot of people don't want to know what's in there, and when they have a nightmare, they just dismiss it. Because they don't want to know. Some people are afraid of monsters inside. This dates back from the Freudian times, you know, that all dreams have to do with repressed sex and aggression. But that's not really true. That's not really true. Freud was the originator, but, you know, other people have carried on his work and shown that dreams are a lot more creative than he thought.
But is there something you can do to enhance your ability to dream and also the ability to recall the dream?
Yeah, one of the most important things is suggestion. When you go to sleep, suggest to yourself, tonight I am going to dream and I'm going to remember it in all its detail and I'm going to wake up and write it down. I have this emotional problem, and I don't understand it. Or let's say I have a choice of between two men, one that's good-looking and one that's ugly, but I really enjoy being with the ugly one. So you suggest yourself, what would be in my best interest? Which man would be the most the most wisest partner for me? And suggest to yourself, I have CDs that help people program their dreams for finances, health, spiritual development, find out where you are spiritually, and then one that can deal with relationships, one that has to do with general problems. And you just listen to the CD. You see, the unconscious mind is very suggestive. I'm not saying that the dreaming mind is the unconscious mind. You know, the unconscious may be different than the dreaming mind. The dreaming mind seems to have a life of its own. But suggestion is the most important. Or just getting on my website and listening to these CDs when you go to sleep. The idea is to do some real critical thinking. Get your conscious thoughts out as best as possible. Because then the unconscious mind realizes you've put a lot of effort into this, trying to solve this conscious problem, and you haven't succeeded. So we're going to give you a creative dream that will help you resolve the issue. You see, so suggestion is very, very important. And people don't remember their dreams because they don't want to. They may have had some very frightening, terrifying dreams. And they're scared of finding out what's in there. You know, sometimes it's very difficult to face your dark side, your shadow side. You know, I always mistrust someone who is so meticulous, who is perfect on the outside. There's not a flaw in their dress and in their suit. There's not a wrinkle in their shirt. And I say, well, what is this person trying to hide? What are they trying to conceal? And it all relates back to the image we want the world to see us as. But you have to pay attention to your dreams, because if you keep having dreams and you don't work with them or try and understand them, you're telling the unconscious, I'm not going to take you seriously. And so maybe the unconscious mind won't send you any more dreams.
Well, you know, so, I guess I can recall having a dream and waking up and remembering just a scant of this dream, but beyond anything, wanting to remember the dream. And it'd be so frustrating that I would actually just get up out of bed and stay up the rest of the night. It was like, I can't remember the confounded thing. I want to remember the thing. Why is this driving me crazy to start with? You know, that is so frustrating, you know?
Right. It's like, you got to get Daniel from the Bible. He was able to tell people what dreams they had forgotten. He did that with Nebuchadnezzar. And, you know, you may miss a lot of the details, and you may miss a lot of the dream, and you may only remember a fragment. But if the message is really important, it will come back maybe in another dream that may not be the exact same dream, but it may have the same theme. You know, like people have very often have dreams. Here are some common themes. You know, you're back in college. You've been out of college for 40 years, and you have a dream. You're back in college, and you have to take a final exam, and you haven't studied. You don't even know where the test room is, and you know if you flunk this exam, you're not going to graduate college. And that's a very, very common dream. But you see, and people say, well, I've been out of college for 40 years. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. But it's not nonsense, because there may be something in your current life that experience and those feelings relate to. So maybe you're not as smart as you think you are, or maybe you're going into a situation where you feel you're being tested and you're not going to make the grade. You see, dreams use the past language. They use the symbols of the past, but all dreams relate to the present moment. They deal with the now. Even though they may use symbols from the past or experiences from the past, they deal with now. People have PTSD. Soldiers that come back from combat frequently dream, have nightmares about their experiences. And because they're still struggling with the issue now. It's not about the past. It's about the current issue, the emotional situation in the present moment.
Well, I was going to say the connections that you talk about, you know, like, you know, we're connected. Frequently, people dream of relatives who have passed on. I mean, this is something that I hear stories all the time. And sometimes they come back bringing a message, you know, and then they wake up and they say the dream was so real, much like with your dream with Jung.
Well, it is real. That's the whole point. It is a real experience. I had a client that was the child of a Holocaust survivor, somebody who had been in one of the camps, Auschwitz or Birkenau, I don't remember the name of the camp. And this young man would have a frequent dream. His whole family was killed in the Holocaust. They were all gassed to death. And he would have a dream whenever he was in a situation that he would have turmoil and couldn't figure it out. He would have a dream that he'd be in a park, and his whole deceased family was there in the park. They were all having a picnic, and they were all discussing his problem. And he very often they came up with solutions. So even with the deceased, you know, I always ask people who have a dream about the deceased family member, do you feel it's symbolic? Do you feel it's working through your grief? Or do you feel it's a soul connection? And if people say it's a soul connection, that's what it means for them. So somehow we're connected to the deceased. Now, there are rationalists and materialists who say, oh, this is, you know, nonsense. But when you have that experience, there's nothing that can take it away from you. You know, you have inner knowing that this was a spirit connection. And nobody can change your mind. You know, people sometimes, that they try and grasp if somebody has a very unusual dream that changes their life, a spiritual dream that changes their life, and they say, oh, that's nonsense. But if you need the experience. We learn by experience. So if you have an inner experience, it's a real experience, and it can change your life. If your life needs changing, it definitely can change your life. Just like these people who have dreams about deceased family members, they wake up often and they say to themselves, well, I don't have to be afraid of death because the spirit lives on. But who's to deny that? If it works for that person, it works for that person.
Well, let me ask this question, and this has happened to me a couple times, or I've actually dreamt about someone that's passed on, and I in my dream I'm conversing with them, but also at the same time in my dream I realize that they're deceased and this is a dream. What on earth is that all about? I mean, I've thought about that a number of times, and I thought, you know, if you know they're deceased and you know it's a dream, but yet you're still having this full-scale conversation with this person in this dream.
Well, let me ask you the question. Do you feel that it's just a memory you are conversing with, or do you feel it's a real soul connection?
Well, it feels, you know, in the dream, it feels like you're actually talking to the person, you know?
Right.
But then there's this apprehension that you have all the time during, you see, it's almost like that doesn't, it's like you first start out, you're talking to the person, okay, you're just talking to them, and you're having this regular conversation.
Right.
Then into the dream, at some point, it dawns on you that this is just a dream, this person is dead. Okay?
Right,
you know,
right.
And, but then the conversation.
Common experience.
Yeah, but the conversation continues, you know, maybe some. And then usually, at that point, it'll start to fade, you know, and then in the dream itself, you're wanting the person to come back, or you're wanting the conversation to continue, but then the reality of the fact that they're not there, you know, and then you wake up, and it's kind of like, wow, what was that all about? You know, why did I have to mess up my own dream, you know?
right. Well, you talk to people who have near-death experiences. You know, they're being operated on, and suddenly all the equipment goes dead, and they see themselves on the ceiling, or they travel out of the surgical room, and they're drifting around, and they wake up, and they say, listen, if that ever happens again, don't save me. don't save me. You know, people realize that there may be, you know, the soul maybe never dies, you know. And maybe that is the point of your dream, that in an altered state of consciousness, which is sleep and dreaming, you're able to converse with the deceased members, either friends or relatives. You know, it's like people who have these near-death experiences. They always say, don't rescue me, don't revive me if that ever happens again. Because many people have beautiful experiences. The ones that don't have beautiful experiences are those who attempted suicide and are saved. They have nightmarish type experiences. Looks like you can't escape your fate.
When the, I guess I want to say, when the dreams come to you, and I understand you're probably very versed in the technical side of dreaming, at what point do dreams usually come? Now, I've heard people say things like, you dream at a specific time, yet I've slept in late, I guess I want to say, where I've been up really, really late at night, and I've slept in. And I would wake up in the middle of a dream, and it would be, you know, right at the tail end of my sleeping cycle.
Right. That's usually when most people remember their dreams. They've done a lot of laboratory studies on this, and they found that you have 4 to 6 dream cycles every evening. The first dream cycle starts about 90 minutes after you fall asleep. And you dream for roughly 5 to 10 minutes. And then you sleep for another 90 minutes, and then you dream for roughly 10 to 20 minutes. And then you have a third cycle, which lasts 90 minutes of sleep, and then you start dreaming again. And this dream can last anywhere from 20 minutes to 30 minutes. And then there's a fourth dream cycle that happens 90 minutes later, and this dream can last 30 minutes to an hour. So the old wives' tale that dreams last 1 second is not true. So people do seem to follow a dreaming pattern. You have different stages of sleep, and then intermittently you dream. Dreaming is a natural function. In other words, you know, people, it's just like blood pressure. It's just like a heartbeat. It's just like a pulse rate. It's a natural function. In other words, you don't dream these dreams. They dream you. I mean, you don't have any really control over your dreams. You may think in your dream this person is deceased and so on and so forth. But dreams have a will of their own. And that's what people, I think, need to realize. Dreams very often try and redirect us into occupations and interests that we're meant to express. I remember when I was teaching in a public school, a kid came up to me and said, I had a dream last night that I was sitting at my desk and I was writing, and I had a pencil, and I took the point of the pencil out, and gold dust flowed on the paper. And I said, do you write? He says, oh, I used to love to write poetry and short stories. But my mother said, when I get into the 9th grade, I'm going to give up that nonsense, and I'm going to be a scientist. But his dream was telling him that he was meant for writing. So if he isn't, scientific journals. So dreams try and redirect you into occupations and areas of your life that are best suitable for you, that where you can use your real talents. I remember a woman, she was unsure about her career, and she had a dream that she was climbing up a mountain, and then she was almost to the top, And then she heard a voice saying, "Help, help, help." And she came back down, and there was a person struggling, and she helped them get up to the top. And when she was just about to step over the top, she heard the same, "Help, help, help." And she walked down again and found another woman that needed help. And she said, this went on and on. And then she realized the only way she's going to get to the top is if she helps people. So she became a social worker.
That's
so very often, dreams try and direct you into careers like my voice that said, open the Dream Center.
Well, you know, when you were talking about the length of dreams, and you say that they're several minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the average person, when they do have a dream, what is the difference in time of the actual time spent dreaming and what the person perceives the time to be?
Oh, that's interesting, because, they have awakened people in laboratory studies, and they say, how long have you been dreaming? And they'll be fairly accurate. They'll say, I've been dreaming probably for about 7 or 8 or 9 minutes, and they're probably accurate. But in the dream, you can expand through time and space. In other words, you could be in ancient Rome in 1 second, and then you can be in the year 2015 in the next moment. So there's no time frame within dreams. One of the most interesting dreams I've had, a series of dreams, and this is why I was able to retire. I was thinking, I've got to write my book. I've got to take time off to write my book. And I really didn't have enough money. So I said, gee, how can I make enough money so I can really take time off to write this book? And I started to dream about the stock market. And there were two stocks, two biotech stocks. And I'm not cut out for the market because I get very emotional. You know, when you see your value dropping dramatically, But these dreams were so accurate. And, I made a low 7 figures. And it was the most amazing thing. I said, I'm going to cash this in, and I'm going to take time off, and I'm going to write my book. And I did. So very often, dreams can see things literally. There are certain types of literal dreams, and they're usually very real, they're very direct, they're not highly symbolic, and there's a sense of urgency about them. And so I was able to somehow the dreaming mind can see things that the conscious mind can't see. It's just the conscious mind is unable to get certainty about certain things. And dreams seem to have a sense about that. They seem to know.
You're listening to Radio Disclosure. And we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Arthur Bernard, the author of God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries. It's all about dreams. And we'll be right back right after this. It operates 20 through 10 meters. It's stealth. It will keep up with any three-element beam and any vertical that you have on your property. But if you can't have a three-element beam or a vertical on your property, you can still have a TW2010. It is stealth. It disappears. We tried to take pictures of it, and we had to move the thing around because it hides so well. There is no compromise in performance with this antenna, and it's portable. You can take it with you on vacation. It's quite unique. They make several flavors of this antenna, however. If you want to operate 80, 40, 60, 30-meter band, it's all there. Go to their website and check it out, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com, and check out the special pricing right now. The Light Pack Systems induction lights, manufactured in the USA by a severely disabled workforce, uses a unique physical principle of light generation.
Light Pack induction lighting is a breakthrough for professional, general, and special lighting applications.
System lifetime is rated at 100,000 hours, or about 20 years, based on 5,000 burning hours per year, with a failure rate of less than 10%.
LightPack offers substantial savings in direct maintenance costs, as well as indirect costs.
LightPack offers lighting solutions that provide a better quality of light with a 66% energy savings, also lasting up to 5 times longer than standard lighting options. LightPack's quality shines through with their standard 10-year warranty on all products. Call today for your free demonstration. Go to their website, lightpacksystems.com. That's lightpacksystems.com, spelled LitePackSystems, lightpacksystems.com. Are you needing a place to put up a website? Have you looked around? You want to do something that's easy, that's simple, and very, very inexpensive, but yet looks professional? Are you having troubles with your computer? Do you need some tech support help? Are you tired of being connected to India every time you pick up the telephone to get some help on a machine or on a website? The people to call is tux-support.com. That's tux-support.com. T-U-X, like tuxedo, dash support, the word support, .com. These are the people to call. They can get you going. It won't cost you an arm and a leg. You can afford to work with these folks. They're professionals. They answer in plain English, and they can help you do things from a very, very basic, simple standpoint. If you have something that you want to do that's a complex project, well, they can handle that as well. But if you're like I am, when you're trying to put something up on the web or you need help with a computer, you really want somebody that speaks English. And you want it to be simple, and you don't want to have to pay an arm and a leg for it. And you want to deal with some good folks, go to their website, tux-support.com. That's tux-support.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, back to our guest, Dr. Arthur Bernard, the author of the book, God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries. It's all about dreams this week on Radio Disclosure. Let me ask you this question. I had a question come in to me here. I was asking some folks to send me some questions to ask you. And that is, we hear a lot, and I'd like for you, what is this business about lucid dreaming? People talk about lucid dreaming. Do you have any idea what they're
referring? Lucid dreaming is when you practice dream control. And that is, there are certain techniques. In fact, there's some fellow from Harvard, a professor, who developed a machine that will emit a slight beep when you start dreaming. And the beep will wake you up in the dream, but it's not enough to wake you up totally. And then you can be aware that you're dreaming and control the dream. So in other words, if you're being chased by a lion, you say, I'm going to turn that lion into a bird. And some the bird flies away. And I started to practice that. But then I read a book by John Sanford called Dreams, God's Forgotten Language. And he advised against lucid dreaming. He said, it's like trying to tell God how to advise you. In other words, the Bible, in the Bible it says, of course you can use the Bible to support any statement, but in the Bible it says that if there's, that's how God talks to people today. He talks through their dreams. And I've had some very, very unique experiences. And I don't think God talks to me in dreams, but I think my higher self, there's something in me that's super intelligent that you know, that runs my body. You know, it's amazing to me when you think of like open heart surgery. A doctor will open your chest and he looks in and he sees, everything's just humming along. You know, it's amazing to me. There's some intelligence that runs this whole thing. And the same intelligence that runs that tries to correct your mental state and your mind. It tries to keep you on the right track.
I would
advise against lucid dreaming. Although people who practice it, you know, say, gee, it's very interesting experiences. I prefer to let my dreams just happen naturally.
I guess if you're wanting to get the message, you would. If you're wanting to hear something.
Right. I definitely want to get the message.
The other thing, a couple things I was going to ask about. We hear quite a little bit about folks that practice things they call remote viewing, you know, where they sit in a room and they follow a certain amount of protocols, and they're given a target, and the target, I mean, they obviously don't know what the target is. The target may be a picture in an envelope, but they're focusing on some distant location, and they're trying to extract information this way. And by following the protocol, they write down, or sketch out, I should say, the image of what it is that they're looking at. Well, I wound up getting, somebody sent me a DVD on remote viewing. So I decided I was going to go ahead and try the thing. So I put the DVD on, and the guy goes through the whole business of showing you how to do the, you know, what to do and how to do it and all that. And then he says, now I'm going to give you a target. And it was a picture, I think. I don't know if it was concealed in an envelope or they just had it flipped around to where you couldn't see it. Anyhow, I started doing the sketch. And I came up with what looked like a peak of some sort on the paper, you know, kind of like a... you know, like, almost like he was drawing a mountain, you know, and then I can't remember what it was. But anyways, the end result is when they revealed the picture, it really frightened me because I had sketched this thing that looked almost identical to the picture that they were showing. And, of course, I had never seen the DVD. You can only watch it one time, though, because once you learn what the target object is, But it was to take it from scratch and having no background in it and doing that. Now, I guess my question is if we have this capability, and they say we do, I don't know, they claim the government paid folks to do this type of...
Oh, yeah, the CIA hires people to do that.
You know, then it seems that if that works, then we have... It almost but verifies the fact that the dreams could be a very, very powerful thing in that the same capability that allows us to see something thousands of miles away is actually that same force that's talking to us in a dream.
Right.
The same capabilities, you know, that are there.
Right. I think the CIA hires people to do remote viewing, especially during the Cold War. I remember when I had a client who had a remote viewing dream. Seems to me that dreams are more accurate in remote viewing than the conscious mind or trying to focus on, you know, with the conscious mind. But this woman had a dream that and her son had gone to overnight camp. I think he was 10 years old, and it was the first time he had gone to overnight camp, and she was very anxious and stressful about it. She was about 500 miles away, and so she has a dream that she sees her son lying in bed, but he really can't sleep because there's a little mouse that's running all over his sleeping bag, and the mouse is running through the cabin, and he's up on the sink, and so on and so forth. And so she woke up out of this dream, and she called him, and, you know, she was so worried about him that he didn't sleep, and she got a hold of him, and she said, tell me, she says, I saw you last night, and you weren't able to sleep because of a mouse. He says, you know about the mouse? My God, she saw the whole thing. And so when I was reading about the qualities that God has, you know, God is omnipresent, God is omniscient, God is all-knowing, I suddenly realized that our dreaming mind is like that. You know, I've had people who have been healed in dreams, actually physically healed in front of me. When I do a dream programming in the dream seminars I gave, sometimes people would fall asleep right in the seminar and have their dream. And one woman had an actual dream where she had a foot neuropathy for 2 years, and she fell asleep, and she has a dream that she's looking at her foot, and sure enough, a white light penetrates her foot, and she could see into the bones. She could see underneath the skin, and she looked at the leg, and she knew it was a. She looked at the foot, and she knew it was a healing dream. She knew it was a healing light, and she woke up, and the pain was gone. I followed her for 1 year, and the pain never came back. There was another woman that had lupus disease, and she fell asleep in the dream seminar, and a voice said to her, "Do you know why you have lupus disease? It's because that's an autoimmune disease, because of the tremendous rage and anger you have at your brother." And she said, and the voice said, "In order to heal your lupus disease," but she woke up. You know, I had a friend who was, I hadn't seen him for several months, and he called me up and he said, "All right, I've got lung cancer." And I went to the hospital to visit him, and he said, "You know, somebody stabbed me in the back at work, and they took credit for work I had done, and I couldn't get over the resentment." And he had a dream that a demon bat, a black demon bat, was attacking him from in his back. And he woke up and he had a slight pain in his back, and he thought nothing of it. And then 9 months later, he went to the doctor, and the doctor says, "You have serious lung cancer." And he died a short time afterwards. So, you know, we have the ability that we usually attribute to God. We're omnipresent. We can be any place in our dreams. We're omniscient. We know things that we really don't know when we're awake and conscious. We can bilocate. There are many different things we can do in dreams. But, you know, remote viewing, I went to a seminar once, and it was so interesting because one of the exercises was exactly what you talk about, what you talked about, and that was you would get a partner and you would describe, you would close your eyes and describe how that person got to the workshop and how they're going to get home and what did their house look like, what was the landscaping, what was their favorite room, describe how the room was decorated and so on and so forth. And people were amazed at how accurate they were. They were just flabbergasted. We have psychic abilities that, you know, are given to us at birth, but a lot of us don't develop them any further. I'm sure in the future it will be taught in the public schools about how to develop your psychic ability. I'm sure they'll teach people how to meditate and do remote viewing and so on and so forth. You know, the future holds great promise.
Well, something I was going to ask you about, and this is kind of off the beaten path, but before I do that, let me ask this question. You were talking a little bit about the fellow that had the bat attack him in the back in a dream.
Yeah.
And he had a sharp pain, and from that point on, the doctor discovered that he had lung cancer. Now, my question is, as though this started with someone in the workplace that had done something to him or cheated him or taken his ideas and had stabbed him in the back.
Right.
So basically what you're saying is, I guess this goes along with the message of forgiveness that you hear, you know, people talk about, and that is to forgive others regardless of how heinous of an act they've committed against you, right. You need to dismiss it, not for their sake, but for your own sake.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that the emotional content of your being can create illness. I gave a workshop once called The Healing Power of Dreams, and everybody, and I think there were 60, 65 people, everybody in the dream seminar had an emotional basis for their illness. So I think your statement about forgiveness is so accurate. It's not healthy to keep negative feelings like that, and forgiveness helps keep you healthy. Keeps you a healthier person.
Absolutely. Well, where is the balance? Where is the balance of being, you know, apathetic and forgiving? In other words, this goes back to the turn the other cheek thing, which is very, you know, which is admirable and fine, you know. But there's some of these folks that are that are just so vile and evil, and that perpetrate things against other people. I guess my question is, you know, how much forgiveness is too much forgiveness, and how much is not enough? I mean, that's the question that always comes to my mind.
Well, I think the individual has to decide that for themselves, but the evidence seems to point if you hold on to resentment, it's not healthy for you. It's and you brought up the question of evil. I think evil does exist. I think there are certain people that are evil, and I don't know if anything can be done to alter that. I really don't know. It's not an area of my expertise, but I know there are certain people who commit certain crimes, and they say they're dangerous people. You know, prisons are full of, have a lot of these type of people. And, you know, I don't know. There's just an evil strain in certain people. And, in fact, there was an author of a book, F. Scott Peck wrote a book on the nature of evil, I think, and he described patients who he had who were evil, and there's nothing, they never take responsibility for, they're always blaming other people for their problems and their issues, but it's more severe than that. It's more, much more intense than that. But that's a good point, you know, people, you have to decide for yourself what feels better for you. Does it feel better to forgive? Does it feel better to hang on to resentment? And
well, you know, I guess
age is different.
I guess if we get a little hat, okay, and when somebody really stabs you in the back real good, okay, you really want to remain mad. You can't. I mean, most people do. Most people, I'll tell you what, you know. Anyways, but if you could put this hat on and think about this person, push a little button on the hat, okay, and it will convert all of your anger to pity. Now, that would be a healthy thing. In other words, if you could just pity that person knowing that the seed they sow is eventually going to come up all around them and literally overtake them eventually, you know.
Right.
Although you want to see it happen within the next 10 minutes, maybe if you could convert the anger to pity in contemplation of their demise, and they're thinking, well, you know, that person, I feel sorry for them because what they've got coming down the road is something I would never want to face, regardless of how bad whatever it is that I've had to face
right.
today.
You should interview people whose spouse or family members or children were killed by somebody else, and how they forgive the killer. I mean, that is just the most remarkable thing. And I'm sure there are books written about this, you know. But I've heard of stories where, you know, people have had their children murdered, and they go to the trial and they say, well, I've forgiven this person. I have forgiven them. And and so on and so forth. I mean, it's a very memorable experience to hear somebody say that. But I think you're right. I think, you know, I think you're right. You're accurate when it comes to that.
Well, I'm gonna switch gears on us here real quick because I don't want to take up too much of your time. But there's some things in this book, incidentally, that you've written is available. I want to make sure that folks know where they can purchase this book. Now, is this available at Amazon and the normal places?
Yeah, it's available at Amazon.com, and it can be gotten at bookstores, or it can be purchased at the website, www.dreamtechniques.com. If you want a signed copy, it's, you know, I usually write something to the person, and I sign my name. You have to get it from the website, because I can't sign the books that are on Amazon.com. So the signed books will be on www.dreamtechniques.com.
And the title of the book is God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries.
Yeah, God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries. And it came from a dream. The first part of the title came from a dream. And this man had this dream that he was sitting on a rock overlooking the River Jordan, and there was an angel next to him, and behind him was God. But he couldn't turn to see God, and God was working on something very hard, and they were in sunlight, and across the river were billions of people, all of humanity, and they were all in shadow, and they were all on their hands and knees digging and scratching in the ground, and they were all in shadow. The shadow was on them, in them, between them, and suddenly the dreamer realized that this is the shadow of God. The shadow of God was on people, in people, between people, but they don't know it. They can't see it. Why can't they see the shadow of God? And he got very upset, and he said, why don't these fools know that the shadow of God is on everybody, in everybody, between everybody? And he thought to himself, if the angel says, oh, everybody's busy doing their own thing, he would say, ah, you're full of baloney. But instead, the angel looked at him and says, well, they can't see God because God has no edges. How do you see something with no edges?
That's
a mystery, isn't it?
That's amazing. Isn't it?
It's amazing. In other words, God is, in other words, it's like a biologist will look out at a meadow and he says, oh, I don't see any evidence of God. He'll look at the flowers, the trees, the plants. But what he doesn't realize is he's looking at God. Or an astronomer will look at the stars and through a telescope and say, oh, well, look at all the beautiful heavens up here. I don't see any evidence of God. What he realizes, what he doesn't realize, he's looking at God. That's the most difficult thing.
Well, one of the things that I've thought basically all my life, and that is when folks have talked about consciousness, you know, like what is consciousness? What is it? Is it self-awareness? You know, what makes us different from other animals, and why are we conscious and stuff? And I guess I have to go back and think that our consciousness is a very, very small piece of God's consciousness that he has given to us and then allowed us free will and management over it. You know, and I guess that's the only way I can explain it, you know. So,
well, you know, that makes a lot of sense. If it makes a lot of sense to you, it makes a lot of sense. God's consciousness, you know, they don't even know what consciousness is, you know. Some people say we have consciousness because of our souls. But, you know, in the ancient world, the old Talmudic scholars believe that we all were sparks from God, and we all have God's consciousness. And we're all like little lights, and we're all in the universe. In fact, I had a dream about this, and it's in the book. It tells the real meaning and purpose of life, and it came from left field, and I don't know why it came to me, but it's in the book, and it tells you why we're here. And I don't think the conscious mind can really figure it out. You know, I think it's beyond the conscious mind's ability to figure it out. I think there are certain answers to questions that only the inner mind can reveal. Only the inner mind through dreams or altered states of consciousness can reveal what is the real purpose and meaning of life. And I don't think the conscious mind is up to the task.
Something I wanted to ask you about, because this happens a lot during sleep, and we hear an awful lot about it, and I'd like to know your take on it, because I've heard of folks going through, regressive-type hypnosis afterwards and whatnot. But folks who are lying in bed, minding their own business, and they say that, you know, a light comes out of the sky and pierces through the ceiling of their bedroom, and they're floated up into a craft, and all sorts of medical procedures are performed on them, and then they're later deposited back in their beds. Okay, now, my question is in your mind, after doing so much research on dreams and having done personal counseling from over the years and whatnot, what do you think that is? This whole mystery of alien abduction, what do you think that this is? What is this all about?
Well, I don't think there's alien abductions. I'm not sure about that. But when you have an experience like that, a vision, okay, or an inner experience, and it can change your life. It can totally change your life, and it's a special experience, and it alters your awareness. It alters your values. It alters your attitudes, and sometimes people won't even share something like that because a rational mind or a logical mind or a sequential mind will look at that and say, oh, that's nonsense, you know. A lot of people have experiences like that, but they won't share them. They won't share them because they're too precious and they're too meaningful to the person, and they don't want people to think they're crazy. You know, a lot of people have these remarkable experiences. They hear voices, they see visions. Well, in the DSM, the diagnostic manual written by the psychiatrist, these are signs of insanity. And yet, there are people who have these experiences, that have visions and hear voices. They are the most normal people. They are so put together. They are whole people. And that was the study, a recent study I read. I don't remember who conducted it. But, a lot of people will not share these kind of experiences. And they won't share certain dreams either because they don't want to be thought to be abnormal.
Well, I maintain that the people who are truly insane are the ones that have written the books on insanity.
Yeah, probably. You know, there was a wonderful book read, Ted. It was called "And They Think You're Crazy." It was the an author. I've never read the book, but I bought it. It's the people who write the DSM, the Diagnostic Manual for psychologists and psychiatrists. This writer went and interviewed them, and he came up with that title. He says, "And they think you're crazy." They were all nuts. He said they were all nuts.
Well, I went through a traumatic experience years ago that really did not involve me. Okay, it involved, another family member who had stepped out of line. At least that was the general belief at the time. And it involved kids, and it was very interesting to watch the psychological community react, because I noticed they never really attacked the problem. They went completely around it as best they could, almost consistently. And you know, even though I had, you know, I was guilty of nothing, I had done nothing. Matter of fact, you know, I was one of the concerned parties about the situation. They made me take, because I was concerned, they made me take the Minnesota multiphasic personality test. I believe I took that thing 10 times. I have taken the MMPI test more more times than Charles Manson, okay? And I came to the conclusion that psychology and psychiatry is not a science. And it's, I don't even think it's a close guessing game at this point. Because I just, you know, you see too much, you know, and having an engineering background, of course, us engineers, we want to think analytically about everything, you know. So, and if you think analytically about everything and you try to figure out what they're doing, there's very little, very, very little logic behind an actual concise thinking upon the part of these people who profess to be the psychiatrist and the people that really know. That's why I say I think the folks that write the insane people are the ones that are writing the books on insanity. But I, you know, like for example, when you're looking at a dream situation, which is a very, very, you know, it's a natural occurrence, a natural type phenomena that's occurring inside your mind or the mind of the dreamer. You know, how does that line up with, like, say, folks that take the MMPI test? I mean, do people that have certain profiles have certain types of dreams, or do dreams kind of encompass the whole thing?
Oh, dreams encompass the whole thing. You know, psychology is not a science. It's an art form. You know, in a science, if you repeat the same event, you'll get the same result. But that's not true in psychology and psychiatry. You know, it's an art form. They try to make it into a science, but, you know, it's not. It's an art form. And therapists need to think of themselves as artists, not really as scientists.
I like that idea. That sounds a lot more, that sounds more compelling. You know, that would actually boost a patient's confidence in their psychiatrist to think about it like that, you know.
Right.
Rather than
absolutely.
I had a gentleman tell me one time, though, who was a psychologist. He says that when you dream something, he said, you are actually every character in the dream. And that left me scratching my head. I was thinking,
no, it's not really true. I've had people who have had dreams like, you can get very, very accurate information about other people that you don't see. You know, like a woman is dating a guy and she thinks he's wonderful, and she has a dream that she hears the doorbell ring and she opens the door and there is someone dressed as a sheep with a wolf's head. It's a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing, and she knows it's her recent date. And she wakes up out of that dream, and she realizes, this guy is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And it proved to be true. No, sometimes you get very, very accurate information about other people and other situations. You are, everything in the dream is not about you. I used to dream about the stock market when I was very involved in it, and my dreams were so accurate, it was frightening. It was just frightening. It was like I could predict certain things that were going to happen because of my dreams. So, you know, if you dream, let's say, well, you're going to go into business with somebody, and you dream that your partner is trying to pick your pocket. Not a good omen. Not a good omen at all. And you wake up in the middle of the night and you reread the contract that you are thinking of signing. And sure enough, there's one clause in there that favors your partner. and you have a lawyer change the contract. So you see, you're picking up something that you weren't aware of consciously, and dreams do that. They can see where you don't see. They see where you are blind.
You're listening to Radio Disclosure, and we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Arthur Bernard, the author of God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries. It's all about dreams, and we'll be right back right after this.
If you like to travel, if you're a camper, if you'd like to take your ham radio hobby with you when you go, you need the Trans World Antennas TW2010L Backpacker Antenna. It's the same exact antenna as the TW2010 Adventurer, with the exception it's been streamlined for the person who likes to camp and travel light. It's the same rugged antenna structure as the TW2010, with the black powder coating and stealth design. We all know the TW2010 is a great permanent or portable antenna, but the TW2010L Backpacker takes portable and emergency operation to an entirely new level. It's especially suited for the amateur operator who loves backpacking, cycling, camping, and makes easy access and quick setup possible for the most extenuating emergencies. TW2010L Backpacker Antenna is available now for a limited time for only $399.95. That's right, $399.95. Pricing includes backpacker, quadra stand, carrying bag, and free shipping in the continental United States through FedEx Ground. That's transworldantennas.com. And now for a limited time, only $399.95. That's transworldantennas.com.
Light Pack Systems induction lights, manufactured in the USA by a severely disabled workforce, uses a unique physical principle of light generation.
Light Pack induction lighting is a breakthrough for professional, general, and special lighting applications.
System lifetime is rated at 100,000 hours. Or about 20 years, based on 5,000 burning hours per year, with a failure rate of less than 10%.
LightPack offers substantial savings in direct maintenance costs, as well as indirect costs.
LightPack offers lighting solutions that provide a better quality of light with a 66% energy savings, also lasting up to 5 times longer than standard lighting options. LightPack's quality shines through with their standard 10-year warranty on all products. Call today for your free demonstration. Go to their website, lightpacksystems.com. That's lightpacksystems.com, spelled LitePackSystems, lightpacksystems.com. How many of you would like to operate 80 meters, but you can't because of antenna restrictions? Well, that's over. You can operate 80 meters right now. You can operate from your home, your apartment. You can take it on the road with you. It's the brand new Trans World Antennas 8080. Go to their website and check it out, transworldantennas.com. This is a portable antenna, but it can be a permanent antenna. It's stealth. It's not a low-profile antenna. This thing is a performance-driven piece of engineering. You need to see it. It will be at Dayton, and you need to hear one of these on the air. If you want to operate 80 meters and you can't, I love the 80-meter band. I can't imagine not being able to operate on 80. But nonetheless, if you're in that position, don't stay in that position. Go to the website and check it out, transworldantennas.com. Go up there and take a look at their brand new 8080 and look for it at Dayton. Are you needing a place to put up a website? Have you looked around? You want to do something that's easy, that's simple, and very, very inexpensive, but yet looks professional? Are you having troubles with your computer? Do you need some tech support help? Are you tired of being connected to India every time you pick up the telephone to get some help on a machine or on a website? The people to call is tux-support.com. That's tux-support.com. T-U-X, like tuxedo, dash support, the word support, .com. These are the people to call. They can get you going. It won't cost you an arm and a leg. You can afford to work with these folks. They're professionals. They answer in plain English, and they can help you do things from a very, very basic, simple standpoint. If you have something that you want to do that's a complex project, well, they can handle that as well. But if you're like I am, when you're trying to put something up on the web or you need help with a computer, you really want somebody that speaks English. And you want it to be simple, and you don't want to have to pay an arm and a leg for it. And you want to deal with some good folks. Go to their website, tux-support.com. That's tux-support.com. Something new at Radio Disclosure. We have been collecting items of interest, something that you might want. And once a month, we are going to have a drawing and give away some of these items of interest. Now, if you'd like to get your name in the hat, write us an email. Go to radiodisclosure.com. That's radiodisclosure.com. Shoot us an email and tell us a little bit about yourself, and tell us that you're interested in the items of interest. We're going to do a drawing once a month, and several people that listen to Radio Disclosure are going to get something really cool. We look forward to hearing from you. Go to our website, radiodisclosure.com, and send us an email. And keep listening and tell your friends about Radio Disclosure. And now, ladies and gentlemen, back to our guest, Dr. Arthur Bernard, the author of the book, God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries. It's all about dreams this week on Radio Disclosure. Yeah, I kind of wonder, though, is that all housed in our subconscious mind anyways, and the dream provides the gateway? Or are we void of that information, and the dream provides us the path to the information? I don't know. I don't know if that makes any difference. But
no, I don't think it makes any difference, right? I don't think it makes any difference, right?
But that's the case. In other words, there's privileged information that comes to us in dreams. And, I mean, it's biblical. This goes all the way back to Bible times. And like you
that's
said,
right.
We're talking about Nebuchadnezzar and his dreams, and all the people surrounding Nebuchadnezzar couldn't make heads or tails out of it, you know.
Right. You know, and the same thing with Joseph when Pharaoh had a dream about, two dreams, actually, seven cows, seven lean cows, seven fat cows, and then ears of corn, seven lean ears of corn, seven fat ears of corn. And he heard about Joseph, who was in prison at the time, called him to the palace, and sure enough, Joseph interpreted his dream, and he became the second most powerful man in Egypt because he could interpret people's dreams, preferably the Pharaoh's dreams, and he was always accurate. He was very accurate.
I guess I just wish I could remember more about dreams. I wish I could
remember
dreams.
You will. After this conversation, you will. You don't need a lot of dreams. It's all you need is one. Sometimes one dream for 6 months is fine. Like my dream, I don't know if you've read the complete book, but my dream of the great fish. You know, I had to paddle out into the middle of the ocean and wait until the great fish came. And then I had a dream about 10 years later that told me the meaning of that dream. And it just blew my mind. It just blew my mind. So you don't need a lot of dreams. You just need to remember one once in a great while, because they kind of sum up what your life situation, where you're living in darkness in your life situation, and where you need to be more conscious.
Well, the name of the book again is God Has No Edges, and Dreams Have No Boundaries. And also on your website, tell us a little bit about the CDs you have. Now, are these available for download? Do you have to order them, or how does that work?
Well, you have to order them off that website, off dreamtechniques.com. And there's another website where you can just download them. And that website is www.sleepanddreambig. You can just download that, Sleep and Dream Big. And that is, you can download the CDs. The CDs are really interesting. They work. They really work. I mean, I've gotten a lot of responses from people. And there are four CDs. And if you get three, the fourth one is free. The CDs help you. Like, my dreams were so amazing when I had cancer. They took me through the whole thing. And, in fact, I contacted Bernie Siegel. And Bernie Siegel was the Connecticut surgeon who was a cancer specialist, and he worked a lot with people's dreams. In fact, when he was thinking of surgery, he would wait until a person brought a dream, and sometimes the dream would recommend surgery, and sometimes the dream would say, no, don't operate on this person. So he was telling me the story about a woman who had cancer years and years and years ago, and there was a few choices about chemotherapy, and she had talked to him about it. And that night, after she saw him in the hospital, she went home, and she had a dream that Bernie's cat, and the cat, he has a cat called Miracle, and the cat appeared in her dream and said to her in perfect English, the chemotherapy that will make you well is, and she named the chemotherapy. So she told him the dream, and he said to me, this was many years ago, and the patient's still alive. So,
that's
you
amazing.
Know, the CDs, you have the answers within you, and these CDs try and help draw the answers out in dreams.
Now, everyone today, obviously, with the economic recession we're in, is budget-minded and thinking. So what? How much are these CDs? What can a person get a couple of these CDs for to start, and then maybe...
Well, the CDs are only $13.
Well, that's very reasonable.
No, that's really reasonable. And if you buy three, you get the fourth one free.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so they're really, really inexpensive. I purposely did not want to bleed people, you know, and brought the price way down so people could benefit from them.
Well,
and
you know,
one of them has to do with spiritual development. A lot of people are interested in spiritual development. And so, you know, you could use what you do is just listen to these CDs when you go to sleep. There are a few questions you have to answer and a few things you have to think about. But then when you go to sleep, you just play the CD. And you could ask a question like, how can I grow more spiritually? How can I advance more spiritually? And your dreams will tell you. There's another one about health, and there's another one about finances, you know. That is the one that everybody seems to want, that one, especially because of the recession. And then the fourth one is a general one, so that has to do with any of the any issue or problem that you you know, that you're stuck on consciously and you can't figure it out. And these dreams help. See, the unconscious mind is very suggestible. It's very suggestible. And, you know, and that's what this does. These CDs suggest that you're going to have a very important dream on a particular subject, and you could either get the direct answer, you could get a new insight, and so on and so forth. So they're very good. They're, you know, they have these little portable CD players and little headphones, and you just take it to bed with you.
Well, this is something that most folks would want to rip onto their iPod. And,
yeah, put
you
it
can
on
set,
your iPod. Right?
And you could put all three CDs if you wanted to, or four on a playlist, and it would just play. But let me ask you a question here. I need to let you go because I know I've kept you up a long time here, and I.
Right.
But here's my question: what about listening to things while you're sleeping? Now, you know, I went in one time for a sleep study.
Yeah.
and I didn't like it at all. I had been through sleep studies before, but I'll just be honest with you. I'll tell you where it was. It was Baptist Hospital in Nashville, and I wouldn't go back there if they were paying me.
Yeah.
You know, for my own medical treatment. But anyways, I got very used to falling asleep with headphones on.
Right.
And I would listen to all kinds of things. And what I found was in the middle of the night sometimes, and I would kind of drift, you know, awake.
Yeah.
With what it was that I was with the headphones on, you know, I would begin to concentrate on what it was that I was listening to, and in a short period of time, I would just slide right back off to sleep again. Now, some of the stuff that I listened to, I learned astonishingly that I actually absorbed it while I was sleeping. You know, some of it, not all of it.
Absolutely.
But you know,
well, you have about, I would say, probably about 20 to 25 minutes, if you fall asleep, where you can hear everything on a CD. Let's say you go to sleep. The CDs are only 35 to 40 minutes, 39 minutes long. And so if you listen for the first 10 or 15 minutes and then fall asleep, your unconscious mind hears everything. And that lasts for 20 minutes to a half an hour. And then you go into deeper sleep and, you know, it's gone. So even if you fall asleep, your unconscious mind is still hearing everything that is on the CD.
Well, this fellow that was conducting the sleep study had to give me a big lecture, and that is, when you go to sleep at night, it should be in a totally dark room. You should have no noise whatsoever, and you certainly should not be listening to something with a pair of headphones on. You know, and you know, I don't have any problems going to sleep. I put on a pair of headphones and lay down, and bam,
right,
you know,
I am
absolutely out. You know,
yeah.
Well,
right,
one thing that will keep me awake is dead silence, and I don't
right.
know why, but if it's dead silent in the room and the lights are out, I will lay there with my mind racing 100 miles an hour,
right,
you know, and I can literally sit and just watch the hands on a clock move, you know. So
right.
What about that? Is it a degradative thing to your sleep to have you know, something in the background going all night long, or is that somebody's myth?
No, you know, for each individual, it's different. You know, I'm like you. I just fall asleep. I put headphones on, I fall asleep. I watch TV, I fall asleep at nighttime when I get in the bed. No, I mean, this may be true about this guy, that he needs a very dark room to fall asleep, or the sleep study expert that you had gone to. No, I don't think so.
Sleep study idiot, but go ahead.
To me, the best way to play these CDs is, you know, just listen to them and then turn the light out. But I wouldn't play the CD watching television. Best way for me is just putting the headphones on, closing the light, and just listening. And if you fall asleep, it's fine. You'll still hear everything that says your unconscious mind will pick up and respond to.
What about the old, they used to see these all the time, the CDs or the cassette tapes and stuff that had ocean waves on them, but they had suggestions underneath the ocean waves that nobody could hear. You know, and I've often said to myself, you know, if I can't hear it, I can't hear it.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know about that subliminal perception. But I know that what I do has worked in seminars while people are awake. You know, I dim the lights, and I used to do this in dream seminars. So if I had 70 people in a dream seminar or 100 people, almost everybody would come back with a dream the next morning. Everybody. So I know it works, and I know it does what it's supposed to do.
Well, I'm going to go to the website, and I'm going to download at least one of the CDs to play with tonight. I want to see this works. But now, this is not a subliminal thing. In other words, you're actually speaking.
No, this is not a subliminal. There's a little music in the beginning, and there's a little music at the end, and that's it. And no, it's not subliminal at all. I would definitely tell people if it was subliminal. No, all of the suggestions are done consciously. You can hear my voice and so on and so forth. But you should try one. Try one.
Now, I want to do this real quick before we go. Give me a list of the chapter title rundowns in your book, a rundown of the chapter titles. And the reason why is I want folks to have some idea as to what direction this book goes in. So folks who are interested, this will whet their appetite. So,
okay.
How many chapters are in the book, and give me the chapter titles.
Okay, let me give you the chapter titles. There are, I think there are eight chapters in the book. Let me put my glasses on. I'll read them right off. Okay, the first chapter is The Fog Clears. No, there's an introduction. It introduces the book. And chapter one, The Fog Clears and Inner Landscape Appears. Number two, chapter two, God Has No Edges, A New Old Vision. Three, We Are All the Anointed Ones, The New Messiahs. Four, chapter four, Is There a Doctor in Your House? Yes, there is. This is the CD that has to do with healing. Number five is Dream Incubation, Hatching Your Golden Egg. What to look for when you incubate a dream, when you're trying to produce a dream about a certain subject. And number six is Unveiling the Mystery, Getting the Message. This chapter is about on how to work with dreams, how to work with your dreams that you have. And seven is... Chapter 7 is Dreams Have No Boundaries, All Doors Open to the Dreaming Mind. And Chapter 8, Recalling and Recording the Book of Your Soul. There's an epilogue which is very interesting. It's Throw Your Kite into the Wind. And that's it.
That's very good. Those are very compelling chapter titles, I will say that. Once again, the book is called God Has No Edges, Dreams Have No Boundaries. And the website, again, please give me that if you would.
www.dreamtechniques.com. That's the first website. And the website where you can download the CDs is www.sleepanddreambig.com.
Dr. Bernard, I really appreciate you joining us. This has been really fascinating. And what I'd like to do, I'd like to have you come back at a future date. In the meantime, have folks email us a description of a dream that they've had. You know, have them send the emails in and talk about the dream and maybe why the dream either stuck in their mind or what bothers them about the dream or a question they have. I'd like to have you back sometime and have you... kind of go through these things and talk to folks. Would you be open to do it?
Ted, it was a delight. I really enjoyed it. And you can call me. Just let me know a few days in advance. And we'll do it again. Sounds good. And save the questions that people have, and I can respond to them.
As a shortwave radio listener, you know there's no such thing as a good indoor antenna. If you're looking for an antenna that allows you to pull in those distant signals and also gets rid of the atmospheric noise, you need a good outdoor antenna. But in a lot of cases, folks can't have an outdoor antenna. Now you can. Transworld Antennas is the name of the company. The website is transworldantennas.com. Go to their site and check out the TW2010 or the 4040 or the 8080 for that matter. These are all antennas that will increase the sensitivity of your shortwave radio. It gets the antenna that receives outside of the indoor environment, away from electrical noise, the pops and cracks and things that go on inside a building, and they hide. The TW2010 just literally disappears wherever you put it. Folks don't see it, and it's a good antenna for your receiver. It's a good match for any shortwave radio. If you're having difficulty pulling in those distant signals, or if you're looking for a portable antenna that you can take with you wherever you go, you want it to be low profile, you want it to be stealth, where you can set it up and nobody really knows it's an antenna, this is the antenna for you. Go to the website, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. And get a TW2010, a 4040, or an 8080. Whichever model best suits your receiving needs. You'll be glad you did. TransworldAntennas.com. Something new at Radio Disclosure. We have been collecting items of interest. Something that you might want. And once a month, we are going to have a drawing and give away some of these items of interest. Now, if you'd like to get your name in the hat, write us an email. Go to radiodisclosure.com. That's radiodisclosure.com. Shoot us an email and tell us a little bit about yourself, and tell us that you're interested in the items of interest. We're going to do a drawing once a month, and several people that listen to Radio Disclosure are going to get something really cool. We look forward to hearing from you. Go to our website, radiodisclosure.com, and send us an email. And keep listening and tell your friends about Radio Disclosure. Well, that's all the time we have for Radio Disclosure this week. A special thanks to our guest, Dr. Arthur Bernard. Once again, we invite you to tune in same time, same station next week for Radio Disclosure. Yeah.